Hello, this is Dr. Shiva. Welcome to our podcast, Get Educated or Be Enslaved.
Episode 1421, air date April 8th, 2024.
All right, everyone. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, wherever you are. This is Dr. Shiva Iyadure. Today, we're going to be having a discussion about the eclipse. In fact, the eclipse is not going to bring an end to Zionism. We're going to talk about magical thinking and the only way that oppressive political ideologies like Zionism or Nazism or Brahmanism, any of these things did end or are going to end, is going to be through our own action. Only we're going to be able to do it. There's not some magical way this is going to happen. That's what we're going to be talking about in our interview today. Hello, everyone. This is Dr. Shiva Iyadure. Today, we're going to be having a discussion about the eclipse, which is taking place across the continent in the United States, or particularly in the United States. And we're going to talk about that magical thinking is not going to end oppression. It's not going to get off us off the plantation. It's going to be through our own efforts in a very scientific way and through action. That's what we're going to be talking about. Let me bring in our interviewers here. So we have our people here, and we're waiting for them to include us in this conversation. Let's see when they're starting. Okay. All right. So we'll wait for them to have us in. But let me begin by sharing with all of you that there is this unfortunate magical thinking that takes place in the world, to think that some event, some magical event, some eclipse, or some particular quote-unquote cosmic event is going to bring about an end to oppression or an end to how the world operates. Obviously, if you look at geological events, they can have a potential effect, something like that. But these ideas, to think that one thing is going to trigger us to get to justice, are unfortunately magical thinking, and things don't work that way. Those in power want us to think like that. They want us to think that the world is going to change because of some event like that. So they create a lot of stories, diversions and distractions, so we don't actually do what we have to do in a deliberate way by taking action, which comes from a raised consciousness, to have experiences, and those experiences bring us back to different types of consciousness. They don't want us to do that. They want us to think someone else is going to do it, an eclipse is going to do it, et cetera. So that's what I want to talk about today with a group that's going to join us called Generational Change. And this aspect of being very practical and taking an engineering systems approach, a very logical approach, is something that's being dissuaded by those in power. And that's what we want to talk about. We want to have this discussion about how do we actually shatter the storm? How did we get here? And it's not some particular event that's going to happen to it. And if you look at anything in your life, it's not some event that may have some, you know, you, depending on how you absorb it, can have some effects on your insights of what's going on, but it's not going to change the world. It's only action, deliberate action, that changes the world. So that's what I wanted to share with you today as we begin this conversation. If not, we'll just go on our own. Okay. So I think they're still waiting on us. So as a part of that, let's first of all look at what is, in this context, what is the swarm? Many of you know that I did a video about probably about 4 months ago, 5 months ago, called The Swarm, How the Few Control the Many. I'm going to put it up right now, and you can go to shatterthestorm.com, And if you go to shatter the swarm.com, you'll be able to see that. Let me just post it here. There's a banner on it here. Let me find. So there's actually a banner here called Shatter the Swarm, S-H-A-T-T-E-R, shatter the swarm.com. These guys are here. And if you go to shatter the swarm.com, you'll be able to see that. I'm just going to post it right here so everyone sees it in the comments. Let's see. There, I just put it up there. So I hope all of you go to shatter the swarm.com and take a few moments to watch that video. It's about 15 minutes. It's a long version and the short version. Watch the short version. It's 15 minutes. Watch it with your families, but it'll give you a detailed understanding of who are these people, as I call it, the swarm, that has such an effect on keeping 8 billion people in a plantation. And that analysis is more of an engineering systems analysis. It's a very grounded analysis. It took me 50 years to draw that drawing, but you have the opportunity to learn that 50 years of knowledge in 15 minutes. So go to shatterthesworm.com take time to understand that. That's step one. The second thing I want you to do is go to truthfreedomhealth.com, another very important educational site. That provides a solution of how we shatter the swarm. And one of the things you'll learn there is that this aspect of shattering the swarm is not going to occur through just, again, things just happening. There is a physics to this. There is a science to this. And that scientific understanding involves you taking a little bit of time to understand the physics of what's going on here. Let me make sure I got the right time with these guys. How are you guys doing? Let me bring you guys on because we also have a stream going on here. Hold on. Yeah, so I think I should be able to bring you guys on there.
That's how I know people that are like kind of. People as well.
All right, there you guys are. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are you?
Good. Nice to be here. I know Heather had set this up, but I don't know where we want to start. I know.
I want to talk about like where, you know, let's talk about your background, why you're running for Senate, like why this is.
You mean
why
president? We're running for president as an independent candidate.
Why did you tell me Senate Massachusetts?
I'm sorry.
We did run for Senate in 2020 when it was our campaign, which exposed the entire backdoor portal into Twitter in our historic lawsuit.
Okay, because I'm looking at this thing and it says U.S. Senate 2024, Dr. Shiva independent.
Yeah, I don't know why they put that up. It's okay.
Okay.
Senate against Elizabeth Warren again. Maybe we'll run for two offices.
So how did that go? What was that like running as an independent? Like, how'd you do as an independent?
Yes, I'll give you the background. You know, I've always been an activist most of my life. You know, I grew up in a world of engineering and politics and art, all those three worlds. But I've never believed in the electoral process because of all the nonsense that takes place. But in 2017, because we had built a movement, the Movement for Truth, Freedom, Health, we decided to run. And the campaign slogan we had, some people may know a woman called Elizabeth Warren. And Elizabeth Warren, our slogan was only the real Indian can defeat the fake Indian. Hey, Ken, do we have one of those magnets?
That's so...
Yeah, it was a hilarious slogan. We had these magnets that we made. We had a huge bus. You know, I have a building here in Cambridge, which is right on a main road called Concord Avenue. Harvard's right down the street, and about 100,000 people drive by here. And we had a bus with this massive, massive thing with that a picture of me, her, in a headdress, and said, only the real Indian can defeat the fake Indian. So you could see some people would get upset.
Yeah.
Some people chuckled at it. Some people were appalled at it. All different emotions. The city of Cambridge said that we had to take it down. Off our bus. So I sued the city of Cambridge back in a federal lawsuit by myself and we won. But anyway, we had about 10 of us who ran that campaign. We got 100,000 votes. We got on the ballot.
Right.
And then both the Democrats and the Republicans colluded to keep me off the debate stage, even though I was rightfully allowed. I was polling at the levels that were at their levels, you know, 10% right. visibility, all those things. And then in 2020, I ran a Senate again. As a Republican, we said we'd give those people a shot even though they didn't want independent, you know, they don't want independent minded people, either of these parties.
No.
So we raised, we had about 3,000 volunteers in Massachusetts. We raised $2 million. My opposing Republican candidate had only raised $200,000, and that was given to him by the GOP against me. So we were everywhere. You know, we had 25,000 lawn signs up, 10,000 bumper stickers, or the inverse, 10,000 lawn signs, 25,000 bumper stickers. The opposing candidate, I don't even think he had one lawn sign up. So anyway, by all accord, even the Republican GOP said Dr. Shiva's going to win by a landslide. Anyway, the results start coming in. This was a September 2020 primary. I win in a county. There's 9 counties in Massachusetts, all white working class community, by 10 points. Where in that county, all the ballots are hand counted predominantly. In every other county, it was 60-40. Okay? A very weird number to a candidate no one knew. So I didn't believe I lost, and no one else believed. So I had to put on my hat as an MIT, you know, PhD, started really understanding how these voting systems worked, and came to find out that in all of the electronic voting machines, when you put a paper ballot in, it gets scanned and becomes a ballot image, a photograph. That ballot image is what is reviewed by the AI on those machines to determine who gets what. Well, those ballot images, by a law called 52 USC 20701, has to be saved for 22 months. Right. It was a law that was passed 50 years ago that encouraged audit of elections. So people felt good, you know, auditing was supposed to be a good thing, right? Not a bad thing, questioning elections. And that was passed by a majority of Democrats and Republicans many years ago, 50 years ago. So I issued public records requests for those ballot images. The government of Massachusetts said they had deleted them, that they didn't have to save them. And I said, show me the law. They couldn't show me the law. And a series of 4 emails, the general counsel of the Secretary of State is admitting they deleted them and they don't have to show me anything. Well, anyway, I posted that on Twitter. I'd been on Twitter since 2007, never been thrown off. I said 1.5 million ballot images were deleted, and I get thrown off within 24 hours. And we had moved our campaign to a write-in campaign. This is in 2020 now. And so there's still about 60 days left up until the general election. And so we found out that the Secretary of State's office had contacted Twitter. So government had contacted a private company to deplatform a political opposition candidate, which is essentially what the Constitution was all about, political speech. So I had to file my own lawsuit in federal court. No lawyer wanted. Lawyers are scumbags. They don't want to take on the government, right? They work for the government. Okay.
Hey.
Sorry, that's the truth. Lawyers. So anyway, I had to file it. I got the preliminary injunction. I argued something called the cat's paw liability. In cross-examination, I discovered that the government had contacted Twitter through a backdoor portal that was developed for them in 2018. In conjunction at the Harvard Belfer School, the Atlantic Council, this entire infrastructure. I was the first one who discovered that. It came out in courtroom testimony. The judge was appalled and he gave me the terms of the TRO. So I won the preliminary injunction. By the way, Glenn Greenwald, I call him Fucker Carlson, all these people are notified about this and they intentionally concealed this case because we're independent. You see, they want to give limelight. Either it comes from them.
Yeah.
Right. So anyway, in May of that year, the court hearing gets set. And the night before that hearing, I was preparing my opening statements and I discovered these documents on a server at the Harvard Belfer School, which lays out in gross detail. And everyone can find this on winbackfreedom.com. Half a billion people came to learn about this. You can see by the views. But over time, we published a bunch of documents which showed that a censorship infrastructure was developed at the Belfer School in conjunction with CISA. So when I brought this into the courtroom, the judge was appalled and he appoints me a lawyer, a constitutional lawyer. He goes, you know, Dr. Iadura, you've done amazing work here on your own. Wilmer and Hale was the opposing counsel for Twitter, argued that I couldn't have written my briefs. They were too good. So they give me a constitutional lawyer to help me, you know, brief up my cases, you know, so they could survive appellate review all the way to the Supreme Court. Anyway, 7 weeks this guy had to brief up my case. And he tells me, you know, Shiva, don't go after the government. Drop all your cases against the government. Be happy that you'll be the first guy back on Twitter. This will be an amazing lawsuit. So I had to fire this guy because he was trying to sell me out. And then the judge flips on me because they had a deal, because the evidence I had was so overwhelming. They thought I'd be a good house slave and be so happy to get on Twitter, right? That I would not go after the government. Anyway, that case has now moved on to CISA, but this is long before Twitter files, which is a limited hangout. So Carlson knew about this. So we have to. So one of the things that emerges out of this is that the establishment sits on truth, hides truth. They release it when they want to release it, when it has no effect anymore. And we'll talk about it to act as though that they're doing something about it. It's a very, very important dynamic that one needs to understand. It's about telling the truth at the right time to mobilize people into action. So when we decided to run for president in 2023, April 2023, you know, I'm born in India. So the question is, oh, can a naturalized citizen, the 14th Amendment, and there've been multiple Supreme Court rulings, which have argued vehemently, and it should be, you know, a very clear issue that a natural born citizen, by the way, which the Constitution never defined, is equal to a naturalized citizen. So we filed a declaratory relief lawsuit. We have, you know, over 100,000 volunteers all over the United States. In every state, we have to gather signatures. You know, when I ran for Senate, you needed 10,000 signatures to get on the ballot. Here, you needed 300,000 in Florida, you know, 1,000 in Utah.
Yep.
Kennedy has only gotten on the ballot in one state. We got signatures on two. The mainstream media will not cover us because we're absolutely independent. Booby fucking Kennedy is part of the swarm. He goes to the Zionist hoodlums, and he raises $20 million, and he's hiring signature vendors. You see? So it's a fake anti-establishment campaign. It's not real.
Right. But so I understand this. But so right now, though, you know, the way that the Constitution is written is that you do need to be natural born
citizens. That's not
citizen
true. That's not president. True. Absolutely false. It's false. So the truth is, you're talking about Article 2, Section 1, Clause 5 of the Constitution. Okay. So people need to really learn history, because that same clause around it also says only he can be president. Okay. All right. First of all, natural born is never defined. In 20 years after 1787, the Maryland legislature ruled that the Marquis de Lafayette was a natural born citizen. Okay. And all of his heirs. All right. So now we have the Bill of Rights, and then the 14th Amendment was passed. The Equal Protection Clause and the Citizenship Clause, which laid it out very clearly. You cannot discriminate by race or national origin. The problem is people don't have the balls to assert this, because everyone just thinks la-di-da-di-da, that's just the way it is. The 19th Amendment imposed the Equal Protection Clause to say women can run for office. That's where this comes from. After that, Bowling versus Sharp in 1954 laid it out very clearly, okay, that, you know, when the 14th Amendment was passed, it was about that a naturalized citizen equals a natural born citizen at the state level, right? So we're a republic. Bowling versus Sharp made it very clear that the 14th Amendment, which was at the states, you cannot discriminate by national origin, also got reciprocally applied to the Fifth Amendment due process, which means effects at the federal level. So the Fifth Amendment and the 14th Amendment became clear. Then in another landmark ruling by the Supreme Court in 1964,
okay, but let me ask
let me finish.
I mean, look, it's all good, but like, can we at least just talk about like platform stuff? And
yeah, but you said I can't run.
These are all very hypothetical.
You said I can't run. I can, because the FEC in 2011 ruled a naturalized citizen can run.
I didn't say you couldn't run. Uh-huh. I was just asking.
Yeah, so
I simply asked you based on that. I know.
Yeah, so the FEC has already ruled on this in a 2011 ruling. The only thing is, you can't get presidential matching funds. So anyway, we have collected signatures. We're on the on two states, Idaho and Utah. We're on the ballot in one, and in one state, Wyoming, has denied us the rights, asking me that I prove that I came out of my mother's womb. So this is going to be a very, very interesting. They said I can show you the letter. It says, "Prove to me."
No, and honestly, if you wanna pursue that, like, all the power to you for pursuing all that. You know what I'm saying? But like, as far as, you know, running for president, like, what's the platform? Like, what are you like trying to promote? Like,
yeah. So let's start with that. Yeah. So, can I share my screen here or no with you guys?
No.
Okay.
No.
So if you go to shivaforpresident.com, there's a very nice flyer there. It's a one-page flyer. About 3-4 million have been distributed. So, you know, it's when you have so many things, you need to find an issue that from that issue, it gives a systems understanding of the interconnection of all these issues. The fundamental issue is since 1980 till today, the lifespan of, if you have a son or a daughter, their lifespan is going to be shorter than yours. And the curve actually goes like this. And it's not the vaccine. People say, oh, it's a vaccine. No, that curvature has been going like this since 1980. And this has been a result of policies, a whole range of policies, not only one issue. It's been the incredible stress that the policies of what I call the swarm, those in power left and right, have imposed on everyday people. Those policies include income inequality, right? Those policies include the environmental toxins. Those policies include a whole range of things beyond just any one thing. So it's a systems view. And this goes all the way back to the 1960s and 70s when John Kennedy created the 1962 Kennedy Vaccination Act, right? And then Ted Kennedy absolved that act by protecting Big Pharma. And then Booby Kennedy tries to act like though he's for medical freedom, when in fact he's the one who supports full vaccination of all Americans. But it's essentially been all of these people, not just any one situation, left and right, Republican, Democrat. And so when you unpack that issue of why is lifespan going down, you find out it has to do with healthcare, which is we have a healthcare system where we don't focus on developing people's immune systems. It's all about a reactionary medical model, which leads to the modern medical system, right?
So do you support single payer healthcare? Like, is that one of the things that you're supporting?
Yeah. So what I support is the following. There's an emerging movement called direct care by DCP, where the physicians, you basically enable physicians, about 2000 physicians now in the United States, you enable them to directly, you pay them $75 a month. So you can pay a physician $75 to $100 a month. And many of these DCP physicians are only taking maybe 500 patients on in a year. So they're getting a good income stream because you're guaranteeing $75 a month, and then you get crisis insurance. And so it's about $200 a month, and you get direct care by a physician, the old school family, you support the family practitioner, and then you have the model where you, in the event that you have a crisis. But one of the things here is educating people that the fund, you know, my PhD is in a field called systems biology, is really to educate people. It's about the immune system. You know, if you look at what's gone on, the immune system of human beings is being destroyed by all these things I'm talking about. But that's one of the models on this. You know, later on, you know, I did a little whiteboard video which shares that, but that's one piece. The second piece of this is if you look at the environment, it's very difficult to get good food. Think about how hard for everyday people it's even get a good healthy meal. The big agricultural systems that have been created have in many ways destroyed the food system at the soil level, all the way to the toxins in the environment, right? Mm-hmm. And ultimately the way that's gonna be solved is decentralizing food to the local farmers. Now, local farmers, it's very, very difficult for them to even butcher their meat if you talk to them, the USDA constrictions that are put on. So they have to fight with big ag in an economic model that's never gonna work. So we educate people every Thursdays at 7, at 8 p.m. We do a town hall, you know, shivaforpresident.com/town hall.
You're talking about like the policies and stuff.
So we have healthcare, we have environment, then we have, you know, education, innovation, governance, and then economy. And each one of these issues, we rotate. So now we've done close to over 12 rotations, you see? So for example, last Thursday on healthcare, which was our 13th rotation on that, or 12th rotation, we talked about the gut microbiome, right? What happens to how your gut and your brain are completely related. We shared a lot of the research that I do, and then what people can do, you see? The week before that, it was on the environment. Then we talk about innovation policies and what's going on with the patent system. Right now, one of the important things that's happening is that, you know, the founders had wanted to create an infrastructure, intellectual property system that any one of us, all three of us, could patent things. You say very little entry fee, and you know, you own the life of the patents for 20 years, et cetera. Over the last, particularly since 1970, What's happened is only large companies can patent things. The small inventors can't get their stuff out. And if you look at a place like MIT, MIT created 30,000 businesses, all small businesses, which now contribute close to $2 trillion, you know, to the GDP every year. So that's a very, very important piece. How do you innovate things at a much more local level? Innovation has become highly, highly centralized. Big VCs, big private equity, right? So we don't really do major innovation. You know, when I created email when I was a 14-year-old kid, it wasn't done at MIT. The fabricated controversy was when this went into the Smithsonian. I had done it in 1978 when I converted the old-fashioned inter-office mail system into the electronic version. The problem is I didn't do it at MIT. It occurred in a small medical college in an African-American community in Newark, New Jersey. And I was a young 14-year-old kid, you know, had gone to NYU, started working at that medical school. But it was in this environment of an open structure where it was a loving family, good mentors, and access to infrastructure that email came out of. It wasn't done by the military-industrial complex. By the way, Philo Farnsworth, the young 14-year-old kid, is the one who invented TV in Franklin, Idaho.
Okay.
So the issue is innovation really occurs at the edges. It does not occur in a centralized manner. So the U.S. doesn't.
But it would probably occur better if we had single payer healthcare.
Well,
and it wasn't tied to employment, but yeah.
Dr. Shiva, let me ask you this, because I think that you are hitting on a lot of ancillary issues that I think are very important to a lot of people. And I think one of the things, and again, you did bring up a good point regarding RFK. I definitely agree with you, especially regarding the Israel lobby. There's no question that that's where the lion's share of his funding has come from. And that's why he has, you know, stood on ceremony when it comes to what's going on in Gaza right now. But one thing that he did bring up as an independent candidate, which I think is very important, is the control that private equity has, especially over housing in this country. And it seems to be a crisis that has been growing exponentially. I happen to work in commercial real estate. I see it all the time. People cannot afford to purchase a home, especially people that are in the, again, post-1980. You know, if you're living in the millennial and Gen Z generations in particular, the ability to have a job or a career for that matter and be able to afford a home and build generational wealth is almost non-existent for most. So where do you stand on the likes of, let's say, private equity regarding BlackRock, State Street, and Vanguard and their ability to basically have no regulation on them whatsoever and buy up all the single family homes that they can get their hands on in this country and render basically an entire renter class for multiple generations, which I see as being one of the key economic issues of our time that isn't really being addressed?
Yeah, well, I've been addressing that since 2017. And by the way, RFK knows nothing about this issue. He's never had to suffer. You're looking at when I came to the United States, we lived in a home, you know, in a rental property where we couldn't even get heat. You know, we had to put coal into it. So you have to understand these people bring up issues just to point out Booby effing Kennedy. And that's what he is. He's a fake anti-establishment and it needs to be addressed. Because the reason change does not take place is because the swarm creates these fake people who talk about issues but have no real solutions. Now, when you look at the housing crisis and you look at all of these issues, innovation, it's been the consolidation of power that has taken place, power, profit, and control since 1970. And the policies that have taken place in that not only affects housing, it's been a policy of centralization in all of these areas. And you can even just look, you know, in 2020, what took place. 600 billionaires increased their wealth by $2.3 trillion during these lockdowns. Kennedy supported lockdowns. Trump supported lockdowns. $16 trillion, you know, went by the wayside. But the fundamental issue is that since 1970 till today, there's been massive consolidation of power. And what we need to talk about is how do we change that? So you have to have a little bit of understanding of history. So if you go back to the late 1800s, the United States and the working people of this country led some of the most powerful labor movements. You know, it was in 1886 that the Haymarket riots took place. And during those riots, you know, four American workers were hanged. And none of this everyday people learn anymore. And it was in the 1920s, women led these massive militant movements starting in Lowell, Massachusetts here, because they wanted to organize labor. And those bottoms up movements are the ones that enabled solutions to what we're talking about, housing, right? Ending child labor. All these things came from mass movements, which put the fear of God into people like the Kennedys, into people like the Roosevelts, Republicans and Democrats. So in reaction to those movements, what did the swarm do? The establishment, they did two things. First of all, they created the McCarthy era, right?
which went after people trying to brand anyone who was trying to build these bottoms-up movements as quote-unquote being controlled by communists in Russia. But in fact, the organic movement of the American people is one of the most vibrant political movements. So between 1900 to 1970, if you look at that block, as these movements grew, as we had very powerful movements, 11,000 strikes, close to 200 million participating in these strikes, all wages in every income quartile grew. That's when, you know, America was known. That's why my parents came here in 1970, right? Because you could buy a home. It was affordable, all those things. But it was these mass labor movements. After 1970, something very powerful took place. The swarm, the elites knew, shit, we don't want people organizing bottoms up. So they did two things. The bottoms up trade unions were taken over by the Democrats. The Republicans branded all these bottoms up movements as right wing or left wing communists. So the left and the right colluded. So between 1970 till today, if you look at the dynamics, there's been maybe 2 million people participating in about 900 strikes. So as the labor movement waned, we right. have had a massive transfer of about $47 trillion.
Yeah, no, I mean, we address labor all the time on this show.
Oh, really?
We, you know, okay. we cover labor quite a bit. That's one of our big things. And we also walk picket lines. So, you know, that's something we cover a lot. But what does that look like in terms of policy? So, for example, I support the PRO Act. I think that we need to get rid of right to work states. You know, there's definitely things that need to be done for that. But yeah, I mean, well, like, so what's so the policy for that?
So, Jen, what we've done is our position is the following, okay? It has been, you know, as an activist since 1980, it is movements, actual bottoms-up movements that fundamentally change things. Without that force, the policies have no teeth to them. You know, when I was growing up in New Jersey, if you wanted to change something, your teacher would say, oh, go write to your congressman, right? Or go run for office or file this lawsuit. But all of those things don't have any teeth without a movement. So what we've done is we've built a global movement, Truth, Freedom, Health. And that movement, number one, educates people on the importance of building bottoms-up movements, the dynamics of that. And then it, to the extent that you engage in electoral legal politics, you have to have this movement. So everything we do is to engage people to learn this dynamic and then get on the ground. So, for example, collecting signatures is a real expression of that activism, right? You go out and collect signatures, a police show up to try to tell you can't collect signatures, right? And then you have to understand the law and you have to essentially flex your muscles as a citizen. So in our view, all of these issues, nothing is substantially going to happen until these mass bottoms up movements are recreated. That's why you talked about generational wealth, right? You talked about why immigrants came here fundamentally. It was because of this, and it's a dot that needs to be connected. Which people don't want to connect. They want to make it liberal populism. So you don't want to give power to people. So that's the fundamental nature of what we're doing. So everything we do is always about, we drive people back to build these movements. So, you know, an eclipse is taking place, right? Eclipse is going to solve something. Some magical thinking is going to happen and somehow Zionism is going to end or we're going to all be freed because some event is going to take place. And this fundamental understanding is what we're bringing into the electoral politics, that none of these people, Trump, Booby, Kennedy, Sanders, all these people were created fundamentally post-1950s, 60s. It was a real active part of creating what we call the not-so-obvious establishment, people running for politics, to enable people to think these people who know nothing about the lives of everyday people, you know, are going to solve things. They don't know the lives of growing up in a discriminatory world.
I mean, this sounds like to me like a really good like educational campaign, and I appreciate that. But like, I see the need to educate people because that's what we do here. I mean, that's the whole point of what I'm doing, and so I recognize that. But at the end of the day, when you're running for president, people want to hear this is the policy we're going to do, and that is just the way it is, because otherwise it makes for really good PAC, it makes for really good educational opportunities. But why run for president? Like, what is it that you're trying to do, like, as president?
And do you see yourself actually getting on, you know, a substantial amount of ballots?
Yeah.
That's some big questions.
Yeah. Well, I think you're asking the wrong questions. You're asking the wrong questions because you're assuming that change comes by a Booby Kennedy doing something.
No, I'm not assuming that at all.
Because you said it's just educational. So you haven't come.
Well, that's what you appear to every time we ask like a policy, you just tell me that you're out there educating people. And I think that's amazing. I'm just saying, like, if you're running,
that's not what I said.
What is the president to run for?
You were deconstructing my words into something else. And don't, education is very important. If you don't think education is important, that's the reason we're in this situation, because people
are being- I know it's important. Well, that's why I do this podcast.
Let me finish. So in each one of these areas, there's six areas. Each one of those areas has very particular platforms. Okay. So healthcare, environment, all of those, not only particular platforms, detail platforms, not just gee whiz things, but our platforms are based on the individual participating in them, not saying it's going to be a top-down solution. So I'm not sure what you mean by a platform. It seems
well, what to I me mean is, do you support you think a platform is
something that happens top-down?
Well, right. No, no, no. I understand. Like, I am all about the outside in movement, but
well,
at the
but
end
you
of
seem
the day,
to think
I
mean, a platform, it comes from top down, that it doesn't come from bottoms up.
No, I don't think that. But what I, what I'm asking you is do you support single payer healthcare?
I told you what I support. I don't support that policy. What I support is a policy of DCP. Okay. It's a very different model.
Okay.
So the problem is people think you have to be pro climate, anti climate. So you have to wake up to the fact that when new blood comes in, we're going to have a very different view, and you have to open your mind to that. And if you're unwilling to do that, then it's just about keeping the playing field in the world of the existing swarm. Oh, Booby said this. Trump said this. Those, every one of their platforms is being defined by the same people who want to keep things as they are. So you have to expand your understanding.
Yeah.
And that understanding is every one of these issues has a root cause. So when you look at healthcare, let's get to the root cause. Why is the lifespan of the American people going down? Why?
Well, we've covered it on our show. No, it doesn't matter.
Tell me why it's going down. Why is the lifespan going like this?
There's a lot of variables, but we're poisoning ourselves. We're corporate bought. We have politicians that are owned by big pharma that profit off of it. I mean, there's a lot of variables.
It's a multi-system.
Like, we've been covering a lot of these issues over the past 3.5 years.
Yeah, that's fine. But you have me on here to talk about it. You can cover all these issues, but we're having a conversation right now. The issue is it's a multi-systems issue. And when you uncover that, you find out that the reason this has been happening is because a set of people who've been involved in this have been into the centralization of healthcare. It has been big pharma, which has a reductionist medical model. There is not any intention to educate people on how to take care of their health. The medical doctor, the family practitioner, cannot even go and practice family practitioner. They have to go join hospitals. By the time they come out of medical school, they have about $500,000 loan, right? So there's a number of systemic issues that need to change. For example, in healthcare, one of our policies is you need to eliminate the need for medical for someone to become a medical doctor to go to undergraduate. Many, many countries, you go right from high school to a 5 or 6 year program. The second thing is we have to support DPCs, which is the doctor can directly serve medicine, not the concierge model. And then you have to enable people to make it much easier for people to get the crisis care. So it's a very different.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Do you support the, even if you don't support the single payer model, do you support the removal of private insurance and basically defanging big pharma?
That's exactly what we're saying. What I'm saying. So fundamentally, there's this movement that's coming from the medical community to do that, where you can do, doctors are saying, I don't want to deal with insurance. Pay me $75 a month out of pocket. I mean, that was the old school days, right? Go back to 1970s to see your doctor. You paid him $50. He knew you, your family. It was a much better healthcare model, right? The doctor didn't spend 15 minutes. So we've essentially degenerated that. But fundamentally, that's what it is. But it's a systemic problem from the time someone decides to go to medical school. So they're coming off with massive amount of loans. So most doctors are being forced to go to join large hospitals. The other piece here is, independent of that, if you do go to a hospital, you know, one of our policies that we've talked about for nearly 8 years is GPOs and PBMs. I'm sure you guys know who those are, right?
I don't know what that is.
Well, if you want to talk about healthcare and you don't know about GPOs and PBMs, it's like the issue. So group purchasing organizations and PBMs in the 1970s were created, which allowed legalized corruption. They're really, so two arms here. Group purchasing, if you go to a hospital, everything in that hospital goes through three major GPOs. Now in the 70s, let's say the three of us owned our own hospital, we were each buying pillowcases or bedpans or insulin, right? Paying X. So we outsourced our buying purchase to what was called a group purchaser. So all of us pooled all the things we wanted and he'd get a better deal, okay? Well, those GPOs By 2000, we're given the rights to give kickbacks to hospital administrators. It's got legalized by Congress.
Well, that's what everybody talks about regarding if there is one specific entity within the healthcare sphere that is the most corrupted at this point, it is definitely the hospital system.
What? No, it's the GPOs. It's a group.
Well, the GPOs that have that have essentially corporate captured the hospital system.
Right.
You know, but you walk into a hospital, they make you pay $30 for an Advil. You know, it's things
right.
like that.
Right. And so what they've also done is so the three major GPOs in the last 3 years merged with the three major insurance companies. So now you have total opacity of costs. So that, and they have the right to give kickbacks to hospital administrators. That should be made illegal.
It should absolutely be illegal.
And same with PBM. So I'm giving you very specific policies here. PBMs do the same thing on the drug side. This is why the cost of drugs is so high. So we have massive opacity in the healthcare system, which needs to be eliminated. We have the fact that the medical, you know, one of the other policies is eliminate the need to go to, you know, undergraduate. You should be able to go right from high school, you know, maybe 1 year right to medical school. You reduce the cost on the medical student. And
let me ask you this. Let me ask you this before we wrap, because I think this is important. And hang on 1 second, because that's
the element. That's okay. How it sounds. He's going to pick up Graham. It's what the element sounds like. It's a 2003 Honda element.
So Doc,
what is it?
Last question, because we do have to wrap. We have seen one so far, and I assume there will be others. But in terms of independent party candidates, or at least candidates that are running outside of the two-party duopoly, are doing debates. Are you going to be participating in any type of presidential debates coming up that we should know about so that more and more people will hear your message?
Yeah, the issue is, do they want us to invite us to any debates? You say, even if we get the visibility on the ballot, as you know, there's four levels of election fraud in the United States. First is who even gets visibility. Even if you overcome that, then they restrict you on getting ballot access. Okay. Then the third is debates. And the fourth is if you even win all their elections, like happened in Massachusetts, then they manipulate the machines. So we're the ones who've exposed four of those things. And we're exposing the fifth one right now, the whole ballot access issue. So it's really a question to be asked more broadly to the American people. Now, there has to be a new model of conducting debates. You see, that takes it out of independent journalists should be able to conduct debates, you know, and call people into them like you guys, because it's four major media companies or three who control these debates.
It should go back to the League of Women Voters.
Yeah.
That was when it was better.
That was a model but it should be like many League of Women Voters, you know?
Well, yes. Yeah. As a member of the League, we take that
hey,
seriously.
Hey, look, it was a little before my time, but I had no idea that Ronald Reagan debated John Anderson because Jimmy Carter.
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. I remember that debate very well. Yeah, I remember that in 1980.
Yeah.
It was a pretty good debate, actually.
But you know what? And we can conclude on this note. This system in its current construction is breaking at the seams. It's conversations like the ones that we're having that are now considered commonplace. They're not considered, you know, something that's passé or, you know, on the spectrum. It's not like that anymore. We want to have these conversations with people that are not in the hierarchy of the Democratic or Republican Party establishment. That is dying. And I think everybody knows that. And that's why they're working so much harder on things like censorship, because it's all forms of censorship. If the truth is something that can't be shared, then don't come at me with this, oh, fascism is going to happen if so-and-so gets elected. It's like, no, it's sort of here. Yeah. You've already completely captured our system. And that's why these types of conversations, I think, are very, very important. And again, we are very appreciative that you came on, Doc. And I think it's very important that your message continues to get out there, because, again, it's not the message that's being sent out by corporate media. And that is very important. So if people do want to follow your campaign and, yes, hopefully also be able to see you on a debate stage, what would be the best way for them to get in touch with you?
So everyone should go to Shiva, Shiva, numeral four, number four, president.com. So I encourage people to go there. They can volunteer, because we actually are mobilizing. We have leaders in every state. The second thing is they can go to truthfreedomhealth.com. Those two are the important sites. And then finally, if they want to understand what the real problem is, we created a mini site called shattertheswarm.com. So Shiva, numeral four, president.com, truthfreedomhealth.com, and shattertheswarm.com. But it's good you guys are doing this. Keep it up. It's very important that, you know, on closing, you know, we have a lot of people talking truth now. In my view, it's telling the truth at the right time to the right people to mobilize people. You know, one of my mentors was a guy called Noam Chomsky. So Noam would do all these great things, you know, telling the truth, but it was very academic truth telling. People would listen to all his truth and feel very, very depressed. Wow, this is happening and that's happening. I guess I can't do anything. So we have to understand sometimes truth telling, what is the purpose of it? Is it to create learned helplessness, or is it to mobilize people into action at the right time? So truth is going to become a massive commodity, but why are people telling the truth? To mobilize people or to demobilize people, you know, to depress people? So it's a very fundamental issue that's going to come up. But thank you.
Doc, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Best of luck.
Great questions. Thank you. Be well, guys.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. Be the light. Thank you. So that was a group which I thought they had some good questions. And hopefully we motivated them to think beyond left or right, or to issues just, or solutions just based on the solutions that people are promoting. Many of these solutions are fake solutions. We need to understand that the swarm defines democracy by saying, oh, you can have this or this. They never want us to talk about real solutions. So what we are doing as our campaign for president, and we invite you to come every Thursday to our open house at 11 a.m. or 8 p.m. The most important thing we're also doing is we're mobilizing people into action, right? Mobilizing people into action means, number one, you can go to shivaforpresident.com and get a simple bumper sticker, right? And it's very important to do this because when you get one of these bumper stickers, you're taking action. You're peeling off this bumper sticker. You're putting it on the back of your car. And when you do that, you're telling people in a very deliberate way, I have chosen a side. I'm not on the left or the right. I'm not in some Booby Kennedy's camp. I support this movement, Dr. Shiva's movement, or the Movement for Truth, Freedom, Health, which is about, you know, enabling me, empowering me to become an agent of change. It's the first thing everyone should do. Go get a bumper sticker. The second thing that I encourage everyone to do is to go to shivaforpresident.com, our website. And when you go to that website, I just want to point out there's some very, very powerful things everyone can do. First, you can go to the volunteer page. Volunteer, volunteer, volunteer. We need to get on the ballot in every state. We've made it easy. Every Saturdays, we have a volunteer meeting. We connect you up within 24 hours. One of our great volunteers will call you and we'll connect you. That's the second thing. Next thing is you can obviously donate. When you donate, you can donate whatever you want. But when you donate, you get all these gifts. We give you 5 gifts or 16 gifts or 20 gifts. You can look at the numbers here, but we want to educate you. We give you the ability to understand what is going on with the system. Who is the system? Who is the swarm? Okay. And finally, I want you to go to this free download section. When you go to the free download section, you'll get this incredible flyer. It's called the Swarm, The Lesser of Two Evils is Killing Our Children. You'll understand what's really going on, how the left, right, the Booby Kennedys, the Trumps, the Bidens, all of them have been killing our children. You'll understand who the swarm is. And then you'll understand what is the solution. But you can print this flyer out and you can educate people and invite people to come to our town hall. We do every Thursdays at 11 a.m. and 8 p.m. That's what you can do action-wise. So this is about you taking action. And then finally, one of the important things you can do is go to the Movement for Truth, Freedom, Health. It's really important that you get educated at a fundamental level. You will go to this place and you'll see we have the Shatter the Swarm video. I'll play this video for you shortly. You can get gear so you can advertise, but most importantly, you have to recognize we have 500,000 people in 120 countries, and we actually have stories of transformation when people go through this training. We win. We have a history of winning. We're not losers, but you'll fundamentally understand that the world is not going to change because of information. There's lots of information, and more people are getting obese, 2.5 billion people. More people are getting hopeless because information through the funnel of ignorance leads to illusion and confusion. People get complacent or desperate, or they think they have to choose between, you know, Biden or Booby or Trump. The reality is these people, be it Fucker Carlson, be it Sadhguru, be it Trump, be it Tulsi Gabbard, Alex Jones, all of these people are part of the infrastructure of the machinery of ignorance to keep you enslaved. The only way out is you getting educated with the knowledge of system science to achieve wisdom. And as a part of that, let me play this video so you really understand how we move forward in winning and for ourselves. And that can only happen with you becoming that agent of change. It's not going to come from somewhere else. Let me play this video. Here we go.
We have allowed our country to be taken over from within. And the end goal is you will have a homogenized world where we will become slaves, because there is a condition among the elites that really thinks they're better than you, deep down inside them, that you don't deserve the freedoms you have. They don't. This reality is what people need to wake up to, and we need to all unite working people. There's only one movement that can do that, and that is the movement that we started creating here in Massachusetts, the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health. Look, I've been a student of politics since I was a four-year-old kid, studying revolutionary movements, left wing, right wing. There's a physics, there's a nuclear science to destroying the establishment. To build a bridge, you need to understand Newton's equation. You need to understand the laws of gravity. You need to understand Poisson's ratio. There is a way to build a revolution. And that's why I put this together. My goal is to train an army of truth, freedom, and health leaders. We don't need followers like social media. We need leaders, but they need training because the educational system does not teach them history, nothing. So in 3 hours, that's what I've started doing. That's the solution. Wow. We got to train people first with understanding what a system is, the dynamics of all systems that affect nature. The second is understanding the interconnection between truth, freedom, and health. Freedom is the ability to move freely, communicate freely, talk freely. Without freedom, you cannot convert ideas, hypothesis into truth, which is science. And without freedom, you can't really get to truth. And without truth, you make up fake problems and fake solutions, which means you destroy our health. And without health, which is the infrastructure of us and our body, you can't fight for freedom. Truth, freedom, health. Third concept is it has to be bottoms up. Working people, people who work uniting. And what the right wing has done is whenever you say working people unite, that must be communist. Meanwhile, they've let the Democrats run unions, which suppress workers, completely corrupt. But when you look at the arc of American history, it's been when working people came up. We need to go local. Every solution I'm coming up with is a part of this movement. We're giving the science, which is the truth, and then we tell people what they can do on the ground. Like with election fraud, you don't need to wait for some lawyer. Our goal is to train people to go local, to go local, to go local, fight locally. Forget lawyers, forget politicians, forget celebrities. You've got to learn politics, and there is a science to it. They lock us down, we should be ready to shut them down. And the fourth part of this principle is the not so obvious establishment. So when you look at a system, there's always something that disturbs you from getting to your goal. Well, the biggest disturbance is the not so obvious establishment, which are those people who claim they're for you on the left and the right, the Al Sharptons who tell black people I'm for you, the Tucker Carlsons. Do you think any true anti-establishment person will ever be on Fox or CNN? I don't think so. They both mislead working people back into the establishment. Without this solid understanding of political physics and theory, you're screwed. You're going to follow on the left wing Bernie Sanders. Oh, he said something. Or Robert Kennedy. Scumbags. Or you're going to follow some right-wing talk show host. They're not going to lead us to liberation. It's us. We're building a bottoms-up movement. And that political physics, it's a nuclear science of change. Bottoms up. We have to organize to understand that there is people who talk a good game and then look at what they actually do, left and right. I'm sorry, Sean Hannity may say some good things, but I don't see the urgency in his voice to get something done. And it can only come when you weaponize yourself with the right knowledge. You need to be able to identify a rat. You know, Christ didn't go after the Romans, right? It was the Pharisees and the Sadducees who screwed him up. His own quote-unquote people. And that's where we're at. So these four concepts I've built into a curriculum where people can go to truthfreedomhelp.com, and it's an educational program. We need to train people in political theory. You need to have physics, and I've created that curriculum. People need to get educated. We need to get educated fast. And within a half an hour, I can teach people. 2 years of MIT control systems, I teach people those concepts. Then I apply it, anyone can understand it. And then you say, oh, I gotta build a bottoms-up movement. They have to get politically astute, and then they have to go locally and act, not sit there on social media. They have to act locally, defy locally, do civil obedience locally, but with knowledge on how to build a movement. Now, the Senate campaign's expanded to the Movement for Truth, Freedom, and Health, and they can find it on truthfreedomhelp.com, so people can sign in. They can get access to a bunch of videos. If they want to take a course and become a Truth, Freedom, Health leader, I offer a full scholarship there, but we want people to make a commitment that they'll study, that they'll get certified, that they'll go do activities on the ground. So go to truthfreedomhelp.com.
All right, everyone, if you're tuning in a little bit late, what we've been talking about is the eclipse will not bring an end to Zionism, only we can. And I just did an interview with a couple of people. They seem to essentially have very, very, establishment type questions. But nonetheless, as I close out today, to summarize, look, for centuries, people have been bamboozled by the elites into thinking some event in the universe is going to liberate them. Okay. Some external event is going to come save them. Some Messiah is going to come. Some eclipse of the sun, some planetary alignment, all this bullshit, right? And none of it ever happens. And then people get down and then they wait again for the next planetary alignment or the next event, the next eclipse, solar eclipse, lunar eclipse. This is going to happen. That's going to happen. And if you notice, nothing fundamentally changes for everyday working people. And this magical thinking is very, very valuable to the swarm. They love it because people are not, they're out there doing these treks to go think those events are going to change things. But the reality is life and everything around us shows that it is action, conscious action taken to have an experience. And from that experience, we learn and increase our consciousness and we take more action, more experience, more consciousness. This is what actually fundamentally changes things. Think about, you want to do something, you want to get a skill set, you want to be a plumber, an electrician, or you want to get a degree. It's not the alignment of the stars makes that happen. You have to go do that. You have to go get the application. You have to apply to the particular organization. Then you have to get accepted. Then you have to put in your years of training and do well on the exams and learn the material, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It is our actions that define our character. If we want to fundamentally change the world and get off the plantation and get off the swarm or shatter the swarm, it's going to happen by number one, you connecting your own journey, your own suffering, your own struggles with the collective struggles and collective journey, and then learning how to shatter the swarm. And that demands that you learn the physics of how to do that. There is a science to that. And that is why I recommend, as I just played in the video, you go to truthfreedomhealth.com. It took me 50 years to figure this stuff out, to combine engineering system science with ancient systems of medicine, to link those two together, to fundamentally unravel how we do this. So that is what this is about. Number one, we have a very powerful infrastructure, Truth Freedom Health. My running for president gives the opportunity for all of you to see those teachings in action. So when I say go get one of these bumper stickers, Achiever for President, do this, the reason I'm saying that is because that's an action that you're taking. It's a profound action because what you're saying is that I am going to not get caught in the lesser of two evils. I do, I'm taking a stand, and that's what you're doing. I want you, when you donate to our campaign, Shiva for President, I send you books. I send you knowledge, System and Revolution, a great book. With that knowledge, you are then able to have the theory. And then when you get on the ground and you collect signatures, you go hand out flyers, you're seeing that theory in action. So that's what this is about. This is about you. There's no eclipse that's going to do this. Okay. If we want to end the occupation of the United States by Zionism, the eclipse ain't going to do it. We have to do it. So how do we have to do it? Well, you have to understand how the dynamics works. We teach you that at Truth Freedom Health Institute. And then we have to get involved. My running for president gives you the opportunity in a very tangible way to get involved. If you're outside of the United States, go to shatterthesworm.com. Get our flyers, hand them out. You can mobilize people. Come to our open houses that I do every Thursday. You can come to shivaforpresident.com/townhall, or you can come right here to our orientations that we do at 11 a.m. and 8 p.m., vashiva.com/orientation. So if you're listening to this and you don't know fully what we're doing, come to the orientation. If you say, wow, I really like Dr. Shiva, I want to help him, well, donate $5 and get one of these bumper stickers. And if you're at that level where you say, look, I want to really understand this, well, you're going to learn from the Truth Freedom Health Institute all the physics and the science. And you don't have to be a scientist or a physicist. I make it very accessible. Go to truthfreedomhealth.com, become a warrior scholar, and get involved in our campaign. Get involved, get involved, get involved. We've made it accessible and easy for people to be part of this historic campaign. So I'll end this video with our campaign video, but get involved, get involved, get involved. Take action.
Who would have ever thought I'd be running for president of the United States of America? I was born a low-caste untouchable in India's caste system, a system of aristocracy, oppression, and racism. My name is Dr. Shiva Ayyadure. I'm an MIT PhD, a Fulbright scholar, a scientist, engineer, entrepreneur, and inventor. My family and I left India to come to America on my 7th birthday. I grew up in the working-class neighborhoods of New Jersey, playing baseball, mowing lawns, painting houses, and coding software. My friends and neighbors are blacks, Italians, Irish, people of all races. As a 14-year-old, I wrote 50,000 lines of software code to create the world's first email system and was awarded the first U.S. copyright for email, recognizing me as its official inventor at a time when copyright was the only way to protect software inventions. I did that long before I ever came to MIT, revealing that big innovations can occur anytime, any place, by anybody. Growing up, I saw politicians dividing us by race and religion in both America and India to have us fighting each other while they remained safe in their gated communities and in their playgrounds of Hollywood, Martha's Vineyard, and Silicon Valley. I'm a fighter. I fought racism and exposed their imperialist wars, fought for workers, and put my life on the line against global corruption. I never wanted to run for political office. All that changed when I saw working Americans as never before being duped by the establishment and the not so obvious establishment. Across left and right, we were being sold out and made to forget why we came to America and why America existed. Lawyers, academics, billionaires, celebrities, and politicians, elites, Clintons, Kennedys, Bidens, Obamas, Bushes, black and white have hijacked America. They printed trillions for their friends. They delivered crumbling infrastructure, corruption, and racism. They've transferred trillions to themselves, dividing black and white, fear-mongering and fake science. Lockdowns and censorship, dirty air, food and water, pushing drugs upon us, making us sicker. We've been sold out. One set of rules for them and another for us. We deserve a warrior with a history of courage in putting everything on the line for you, who believes in you, not them, who has created a movement bottoms up for truth, freedom, health. I've exposed their lies at the right time, never waiting until it was popular. I've exposed their false gods who exist to lead you back to them. I've exposed their fake science of lockdowns and masking and provided you solutions to fight them and win and protect your immune system, saving millions. I exposed Fauci, galvanized the Fire Fauci campaign when others remained silent. When they stole our election, we sued the government and Twitter in our historic 2020 federal lawsuit, exposing in bare view the government and big tech censorship infrastructure, the unholy alliance between government and social media companies. Where was Elon and his grifters? They stood by the sidelines and did nothing. They did not use their megaphones to help us when it could have made a big difference. Now our movement grows for truth, freedom, health, independent of all of them. Every day, millions are learning the science of systems, the knowledge the elites do not want you to have, so you may learn how to think, stand up, and fight, independent of the establishment of left and right and their fake heroes. Now it's time for you to join the movement to win back America, to win back truth, win back freedom, win back your health. That's why I'm running for president of the United States. This race is about you. This race is about truth, freedom, health versus power, profit, control. We've had enough. They think we'll fall in line and vote again for their lawyers, celebrities, billionaires, and chosen ones from above. We choose our heroes from below, from the rank and file, who do what is right at the right time, not when it's convenient and popular. They can never represent us. What America needs is a movement by the working people, for the working people, who are educated, organized, decentralized, and fight for independence from their systems of control. And that movement exists. It's ready for you. We don't need them. We need us to go bottoms up, neighbor to neighbor. My journey, your journey, are all the same. It's our time. It's time we had one of us. It's time to win back truth, freedom, health, to win back America. Be part of this historic movement all the way to our victory on November 5th, 2024. If you're an American citizen, pledge your vote now for Dr. Shiva Ayyadure, the independent candidate for U.S. president. No matter where you live, you can be a part of this. Volunteer as little as 20 minutes a day. Don't delay. This is Dr. Shiva Ayyadure, and I approve this message. Paid for by Dr. Shiva for president. All right, everyone. Go become a Truth From Health warrior, scholar. Get on the ground. Get educated. Or be enslaved. It's up to you. For our campaign, go get one of these bumper stickers, go to Shiva for President, and do this because there's only one way forward. It's not going to happen with an eclipse. It's going to happen us mobilizing, organizing, and raising our consciousness. That's the only way out. Be well, be the light. Thank you. We need to build a bottoms-up movement. Go to ShivaForPresident.com and volunteer.